Today's shiur, Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Hey. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara with which we will be beginning starts at the very bottom line of Daf Dalet Amud Beis in Maseches Sanhedrin. We open up with a Tanaic source, Tana Rabbanan. The Tanaic source is in a frame, as are all Tanaic sources in our marking system, as you are already familiar with from our introduction. Dine Momenus Bishlosha. Money matters are judged by three judges. V'im hoya mumche l'rabim, don afilu yechidi. If the individual who is sitting in judgment is an expert, then he can judge even as an individual judge. Rashi adds, Don afilu biyochid, dichtiv b'tzedek tishpoit amisecha. This pasuk, b'tzedek tishpoit, the word tishpoit is in the singular, the kosovar ein kan eruv parshios, and also this opinion holds that the parsha of Dionysus of Halvos, judging cases of loans and money matters, is not mixed in with the Parsha of Shomrim. In the Parsha of Shomrim, we saw that there was a reference to three judges. However, if you say Ein Eruv Parshios, so therefore the Parsha dealing with judging cases of loans is not intertwined with that particular section of the Torah, and hence we can conclude that even one judge is acceptable, provided he is a mumche l'rabim. He's a professional, an expert, as is expert in the public. Omar Rav Nachman. Kagon ano, someone like myself, don dine momenis biyachidi, is capable of judging Dine Momenus by himself. The Tosfos at the in the lower lines, in the wide lines, there's a Tosfos that says Kedon Ano Don Dine Momenus Biyachidi. V'Hadis Namba Maseches Ovis. Tosfos raises a question based on that which is taught in Maseches Ovis, Ethics of Our Fathers. Al Tehi Don Yechidi, that one should not be a judge by himself. She'ein don yechidi elo echod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only individual judge is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can, therefore, Rav Nachman say, I will judge as a singular individual? So, Tosfos explains, Eitzah Toiva Kamashmalon Shelo Yit'eh. That which is taught in Maseches Ovis is a function of good advice. By having more people sitting together in judgment, a person will save himself from error. V'hol de Omar kagon ano, that which Rav Nachman said, someone like myself, klomar yochol lodun velo shehoyodun. Tosfos is suggesting that possibly he is saying that I am capable because of my knowledge in judging, but I don't actually judge. Because of what we just said, that it's good advice not to sit by yourself. Inami, another approach is rogil hoya bedinim, that Rav Nachman was a regular in judging cases, v'ein lochu shemo yite, and therefore the probability of his making an error was next to non-existent, and therefore he would actually be able to judge. Our Gemara continues, v'chein omar Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya said the same thing, Kagon ano don dine momenus biyachidi. Someone like myself can judge by himself. The Gemara asks a question lasting four lines, as you can see indicated by the encircled shin she'ila, with a dashed vertical line indicating the length of the question. Ibaya leho, kagon ano, the statement that they said, like myself. What does that mean? Degamirna usavirna unakitna rishusa. Does it mean someone like myself that has learned from others, gamirna? Savirna means, Rashi explains, that I can also resolve matters with my own intelligence, not only serve as a parrot of saying that which others said, but I can also process information on my own. V'nakitna rishusa, and I also received permission from the Reish Gelusa, the exilarch, to don dine momentus, to judge money matters by himself. Avol, lo nakit rishusa, dine lo dina. However, if he would not have received permission, the Gemara's question is, would his din be considered invalid? Oidilma, or possibly afagav deloi nokit rishusa, even without getting that permission from the reish galusa, dine dina, his ruling, the ruling of this individual, would be binding. So the question is, how central to the final resolution of this particular individual dayan, how much is it dependent on having achieved, received permission from the Reish Galusa? In fact, we can glance at the outside margin in which we provide topic headings and see what we've written under the heading Nosei. Kedei Shedinoi Shel Yochid Shedon Yehei Tokef. In order for the judgment of an individual judge to be binding, afilu ta, even if he happened to make a mistake, haim kabolas rishus meresh galusa me'akeves, is this dependent on his getting rishus, permission from the resh galusa, oi saki te gomir v'sovir, or it is possible that it's enough that he is learned. So the Gemara now answers with an answer that itself lasts around five lines, and you can see the length of this as indicated by the tuf that's encircled in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Toshma de marzutra breda Rav Nachman don dina v'ta'a. He judged by himself and erred. Also the coming to Rav Yosef. Amarle, the case came to Rav Yosef. Amarle, and Rav Yosef responded, im kibluch alayhu lo tishalein. If the parties accepted your judgment under all circumstances, whether you judge correctly or even make a mistake, then lo tishalem, then you're not obligated to compensate the wronged party for your error. The e loi, however, if they were not mekabel your mistakes, but rather they said to you, we want you to dan us din Torah, then zil shlim, then you have to pay for the error. You have to compensate out of your own pocket for the error. However, the main point is that the judgment, though, is not reversed. Shma mino ki loi nokit rishusa. We see from here that in a case where someone did not receive permission to judge, dine dina shma mino, that his verdict sticks. How do we see, by the way, that this is a case involving someone who did not get rishus? That we see from the fact that the Rav Yosef asked the judge, Marzutra, did they accept your ruling upon themselves? Apparently, he didn't have license per se from the Reish Galusa to Dan, but nevertheless, by the fact that Rav Yosef said, you will have to pay out of your pocket, and the din sticks and is not reversed, that shows that even without receiving Rishus to Dan, the din sticks. Omar Rav, Hai man deboi lemeidan dino, v'ito miboi lemiftara. if someone wants to serve as a judge, and in the event that he makes a mistake, he wants to be exempt from paying for his error, Lishko Rishusa Mibei Resh Galusa, then you have to get a license, you have to get Rishus, permission to judge, from the Resh Galusa, the head of the Jewish community. And since he judges with this license, therefore he will not have to compensate in the event of an error. We've actually titled this little section of Gemara on the outside margin under the heading Nosei, Kabolas Rishus Lodun, receiving license to judge, Mo'il is beneficial, helps, She'im Ta Yehi Poter Milashalem, he will be exempt from needing to compensate. The Gemara now starts a new discussion. The issue is related to the Gemara above in the context of receiving Rishus Tadan. However, the general flow of the Gemara is not related to that which was above. Hence, we've put a slash into the text indicating that what we're going to learn now is not connected to that which appeared before. The topic heading that we offer on the outside margin is under the Nosei heading, Haim Mo'il Kabolas Rishus Me Eretz Yisrael Lebovel Liftor Milashalem B'Mikresh Shita. Does receiving permission to Dan, receiving permission in Eretz Yisrael, help for judging cases outside of Eretz Yisrael, namely in Bovel? And if one receives Rishus, then the outcome would be that in the event he makes a mistake, he'll be exempt from paying. So the Gemara now continues with, we've numbered them off with Aleph, Beis, Gimel, and a little bit later Dalet, four possibilities involving where one gets Rishus to Dan in which location, to judge in which place. Pshita mehocha lahocha. Notice how we read the word pshita and continued reading, because you notice the connector marking indicates don't stop, don't even pause, but rather read it smoothly. Pshita mehocha lahocha, umehasam lahasam, umehocha lahasam, mehani, dahocha shevet vahasam mechokek. Let's go over this. The first category, Aleph, was mehocha lahocha, meaning one who receives rishus from the Resh Galusa, the head of the Jewish community in the exile, and he receives rishus in from the Resh Galusa lehocha to judge here. Here means in the exile, here in Bavel, because when we learn this Talmud, the Talmud Bavli, here is a reference to here in Bavel, and hosam is generally speaking a reference to over there in Eretz Yisrael. So as far as category Aleph is concerned, one who receives Rishus from the head of the exile community to judge in the exile, that is effective. It's considered a binding license, which, as we said before, in the event that he makes a mistake, he'll actually be exempt from paying. Umehasam lahasam, category Beis, is one who receives Rishus from the Nosi in Eretz Yisrael, the head of the community in Israel, to Dan, to judge in Israel, that's lehosam, mehosam lehosam, from the Nasi, to judge in Eretz Yisrael. That also is considered, as we said, pshita, a matter of the obvious, that his license is a full-fledged license. Umehocha lehosam, and likewise, from here, from Bavel, one who receives permission in Bavel to judge cases in Eretz Yisrael, also mehani, it's effective. And why is that? And that's explained by the Gemara that said, "Dehocha shevet v'hosa mechokek." Here, in Bovel, we're categorized as, literally speaking, as the rod. The rod indicates a sense of officialdom. Rashi says, "Loshon srora," and the srora officialdom means that as a judge, as a Beis Din, one, the Beis Din has Rishus to declare property unowned by one and owned by someone else. In other words, they can actually legislate transfer of property through their decisions. That's called Hefker Bezdin Hefker. The declaration of Bezdin, of something being considered Hefker, being unowned, is considered a binding declaration. So, in Bavel, the Jewish community and the judges there had a status of shevet, of officialdom. In Eretz Yisrael, though, the status of judges was not as strong. They didn't have the general government backing behind them, and hence their control over fiscal matters was more limited, and therefore they're called mechokek. Rashi says sroro mu'etis, lesser governing powers. And as a result of the greater governing powers that the Jews had in Bavel, when someone from Bavel received license to judge, it was a very solid, a very strong type of declaration. And therefore he could judge in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara now brings a source that elaborates on this difference between Shevet and Mechokek. Mechokek being literally someone who teaches Torah in public, as will be explained by the Brisa. Kidisanya, the Tanaic source, Lo Yosur Shevet Mehuda. The Pasuk goes on to say, and you could see it another two lines from now, Umechokek Mibein Raglov. The beginning of the Pasuk, Lo Yosur Shevet Mehuda, Elu Roshe Golios Shebe Bavel. This is a reference to the heads of the Jewish community in Bavel, Sheroidin Es Ha'om B'Shevet, that rule over the people with a staff, with a rod, and giving the sense that they could actually inflict physical punishment with the rod. Umechokek Mibein Raglov, the continuation of the Pasuk that says, that describes Yehuda as Mechokek Mibein Raglov, Elu B'nei Bonav Shel Hillel, these are the descendants from Hillel HaZokein, Shemelamdin Torah B'Rabim. They are viewed as teachers of Torah to the public, but teachers of Torah as such are important individuals, but not sufficient, not having sufficient strength to actually rule with the same strength that those in Bavel had. So as far as we're concerned at this point, we've gone through three scenarios: Mehocha Lahocha, Mehosam Lahosam, and Mehocha from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. We see that they have power to judge. Mehosam Lahocha Mai, the Gemara's question is, and we've introduced this section also with a Nose Hemshech note on the side. Haim, we'll read what we have on the side. Haim Mo'il Kabbalas Rishus Me'eretz Yisrael Bavel, will the receipt of Rishus, of permission to judge in Eretz Yisrael, help for judging cases in Bavel? We read this before as the introduction to the sugya, because this in effect was what the sugya was building up to. So the question is raised, what about Mehosam from Eretz Yisrael Lahocha? Ta Shma, the Gemara answers with a response that lasts several lines. You can see this is indicated by the abbreviated Ta Shma to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara with a vertical line indicating the length of this response. The Rabo Bar Chana, Don Dino V'To'ov. He judged the case and made a mistake. It's important to note, like Rashi adds here, Don Dino in Bovel, and we've included that between the lines. Also, Lekameh de Rebbe Chiya. He came to Eretz Yisrael, he came back to Eretz Yisrael, and presented his case to Rebbe Chiya. Omale and Rebbe Chiya said to Rabbo Bar Chana, I kibluch alayhu lo tishalem. If the parties that you were judging accepted your word upon them, then you will not have to pay. V'i loi, and if not, if they didn't accept your word under all circumstances, then zil shlim, then you'll have to pay. V'hal rabo bar chano rishus havinokit. He did receive rishus from Rebbe, who was the head of the Eretz Yisrael community. Shmamina, we conclude from here, Shmehosam lahocha, from Eretz Israel to Bavel, loy mehani, shmamino, the receipt of permission to judge, does not help to exempt the judge in the event that he errs. Hence, we see that it's not considered full-fledged judicial powers. Those powers received or granted in Eretz Israel to judge in Bavel. The Gemara asks a question, and this question lasts about five lines, as you can see from the long question marking in to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. V'lo mahani, is that so that it doesn't help? V'ho rabo bar rav huna, ki hava minsi bahadi debei resh galusa, when rabo bar rav huna would be arguing with the members of the exilarch's household, the head of the exile community, Omar, rabo bar rav huna would say the following. This is in quotation marks. It's his speech, his speech to them. He says, Lav minaihu nakitna rishusa, nakitna rishusa me'aba mori. I didn't get rishus from you. In other words, I'm not bound to you. If you're trying to argue with me, you should realize I'm not bound to you. I received rishus, permission to judge, from Abba Mori. The Abba Mori may Rav. The Rav may Rabbi Chiyah. The Rabbi Chiyah may Rebbe. My rishus traces back to Rebbe, who was in Eretz Yisrael. So we see that he is deflecting the exile community, the heads of the exile community, with the rishus that he received in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, let's not take this incident too seriously, but rather, b'milso di'almo hu de'oikim lehu. He was simply arguing back with them, but what he said didn't have actual content. So at this point, we are in the position that receiving rishus to judge in Eretz Israel, cases in Bavel, to judge cases in Bavel, is not considered effective. V'chimeachar delo mahani, you know. And after we say that it's not effective, it doesn't give the judge license to the extent that if he makes a mistake, he would be exempt from paying. Rabo bar chana rishus denokat lomali. What was his whole point in getting rishus in Eretz Yisrael to judge cases in Bavel? The Gemara answers, la'ayoros ha'oimdim al havulin. The rishus that he got in Eretz Yisrael was really not to benefit him at all in Bavel proper, but it did benefit him in the communities that were right outside the border of Eretz Yisrael. Those communities on the border or right outside the border of Eretz Yisrael, the Rashi says, hanim shochis achar Eretz Yisrael. They followed Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara now asks, my Rishusa, what is the nature of this permission that Rabo Bar Chana received? On the outside margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading, Kabolas Rishus Shel Rabo Bar Chana V'Shel Rav. We're going to learn about the receipt of permission to judge involving Rabo Bar Chana and also involving Rav. We noted parentheses for purposes later in the Gemara that Doid Shel Shnehem Hoya Rabbi Chiyah. Rabbi Chiyah was an uncle of both of these people, of Rabo Bar Chana and Rav. Let's continue in the Gemara. The Gemara asked, my Rishusa. We see now an incident, and we have markings to highlight the different stages of the Gemara. The double underline, and you can see this in our Mivneh heading, features the expression ki have nochis, that describes when they went down from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. And who are we going to be talking about? We have the names in diamonds. You have Rabo Bar Chana and Rav. Ki have nochis Rabo Bar Chana lo Bavel. When Rabo Bar Chana was about to embark on a journey from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar le Rabbi Chiyah le Rebbe. Rabbi Chiyah, which we'll see later is Rabbo's uncle, turned to Rebbe, the head of the Eretz Yisrael community, and said, Ben Achi Yoreid Lebovel. The son of my brother, we've dashed underline this for purposes later in the Gemara. My brother's son, in other words, my nephew, is going down to Bovel. Yoreh. Does he have permission? Can he get permission to judge cases involving Isur Veheter? Matters that concern things like Kashrus, etc. So Rebbe answered, Yoreh, yes, he has permission. Yodin, does he have permission to judge cases involving monetary matters? And as a result of that, if there is a mistake, he will be exempt from paying, as Rashi adds. So Rebbe says, Yodin, let him judge. He has permission. Yatir Bechoros, what about the area involving ruling on firstborn animals? The Bechor, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, was offered as a sacrifice after being born to in someone's flock or herd. The Bechor, firstborn male animal, would be presented to the Kohen, and the Kohen would bring that as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. Now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, the only way to deal with these animals is, in the event that they develop an imperfection, a mum, that's of a kavua, a fixed, established, constant nature, then it can be slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash. In order to rule on what kind of imperfection allows for this slaughtering outside the Beis HaMikdash, one needs to be familiar with these different imperfections and be able to rule upon them. Hence the question here is, does he have permission to matir, to allow the Bechoros, the firstborn? And Rebbe answers, Yatir, yes, I grant him permission for that too. Ki havenochis Rav leBavel, when Rav was on his journey from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amale Rebbe Chiya leRav. Rav's uncle, Rebbe Chiya, says to Rebbe, the abbreviation is, he says to the Rebbe, Ben Achosi Yoreid leBavel, the son of my sister, in other words, my nephew, is descending to Bovel. Yoreh, can he paskin Isur Veheter? Yoreh. Yodin, Yodin. Yatir Bechoros, all Yatir. Here, all of a sudden, the Rav does not get permission from Rebbe to Don to judge cases of Bechoros. This will be the subject of a discussion later in the Gemara. The Gemara asks, "My shno lemar de kori ben achi." Why is it that when referring to Rabbo Bar Bachana, Reb Chiya called him the son of my brother? "My shno lemar," and why when referring to Rav de kori ben achosi, he called Rav the son of my sister? "V'chitema hochi have maise v'ha'omar mar." Aivo v'chona v'shilo umarta v'rbichio kulu b'nei abo bar acho karsalo mi kafri havu. Let's go over this again. If one is to say that Rabo was the son of Reb Chiya's brother, and Rav was not the son of Reb Chiya's brother, but rather the son of Reb Chiya's sister alone, that's not accurate. And the Gemara points out here on the line we already read, on the first wide line, it said, the Homar Mar, there was a list of names. We numbered them off, 1 through 5. We've also dashed underlined 2 significant names, Ivo and Rebbe Chiya. Ivo, Rashi points out, was the father of Rav, a man, the father of Rav. And Rebbe Chiya, who's also number 5 here, dashed underlined, they were all the sons of this gentleman, Abo Bar Acho Karsola, from the town of Kafri. In simpler terms, Ivo and Reb Chiya were brothers. So when Reb Chiya is referring to Rav as the son of his sister, he could have just the same referred to Rav as the son of his brother. The Gemara answers, and maybe before we go on, let us just glance at the chart that we have on the side, and you will notice on this chart that Abba Bar Acha Karsala was married to a few women, and he produced a series of children from these different women. We can see on the chart that under Abba Bar Acha, we see Ivo. We have Ivo circled. If you scan the names there, you'll also note, you'll see Chia. In addition to this, we also note that one of Abba Bar Acha Karsala's wives had been married to another man on another occasion, and through that union they produced a daughter. We've encircled her as Bas. It's noteworthy, as you look at the chart, that Ivo and the Bas, these two people are themselves not related to one another. Ivo had a set of parents, and the Bas has her own set of parents. Hence, Ivo and Bas were able to get married, and they produced Rav, as you can see on the chart. It just so happens that Rabbi Chia was a brother to both of these people. In other words, Rabbi Chia's father produced Ivo. Ivo and Chia had a common father. Rabbi Chia and Bas had a common mother. Hence, they were brother and sister through the mother. The question, though, is raised, why does Rabbi Chia refer to Rav as the son of his sister when he could have referred to Rav as the son of his brother? Just like Rabbi Chia made reference to Rabbah, who was the son of Chana, one of Rabbi Chia's other brothers. The Gemara has a couple answers. We've noted the answers, Aleph, and then on the top of Omid Beis, we have a Beis noted. Rav Bar Achva Dehave Bar Achde. Rav was, in fact, the son of Rabbi Chia's brother, son of Ivo, and he was the son of Rabbi Chia's sister as well, as we demonstrated on the chart. This is in distinction to Rabo Bar Chana Bar Achva Dehave Bar Achde. He was the son of Rabbi Chia's brother alone, and not the son of a sister. So in order to make this distinction, Rabbi Chia, when referring to Rav as the son of his sister, he was saying in so much as Rav is not only the son of my brother, he's also the son of my sister. When he spoke about Rabbi Chia, Rabo Bar Chana, he referred to him as the son of my brother alone. The Iboy Sema, another explanation as to why Rav Chia used the term Achosi or Bar Achosi when referring to Rav Al Shem Chochmosoi. As we turn to the top of Omid Beis, you see, it is a reference to Rav's wisdom. So you'll ask, how does wisdom have to do with the term sister? Dichtiv, there's a pasuk that says, Emor lechochmo Achosi at. So you see, in this pasuk, the word chokhmah is used in conjunction with achosi. The Gemara now continues with a reference to a point that was made on Omid Aleph. In order to make this connection, we provide arrows. Notice the arrow in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with an Omid Aleph noted by it. Find on Omid Aleph, you turn back to Omid Aleph, find an arrow on the same side of the Gemara text, namely the right-hand side, which indicates Omid Beis. And if you scan down the daf, you'll notice on the lower part of Hey Omid Aleph, a line on which it said, Yatir Bechoros Al Yatir, where Rabbi Chia asked for permission for his nephew, Rav, to paskin cases involving firstborn animals and the appearance of their mum, their imperfection, we saw that Rebbe was not willing to grant Rav permission to judge in this area. So the Gemara asks, Yatir b'choros al yatir, that's the quote, my time, or why is that so? Notice we have a double underline. A double underline is one of our series markings, and we've indicated on the side a nosei mivneh heading with the double underline featured, shlovim, stages. Levarer loma rav loy kibel heter lahoros al mumei b'chor. Why is it that Rav did not receive permission to judge in cases involving mumin, the imperfections that appear on the firstborn animals? So we're going to go through several stages before we come to a conclusion on why is it that he didn't get rishus, he didn't get permission. If you'll say that Rav was not wise, but we just got finished saying that he was very wise. Maybe you'll suggest he wasn't expert in this particular area of physical imperfections that appear on animals. That's not true either. Rav tells us, and we've put in quotation marks the next two lines in a word, indicating the length of Rav's words. Shmoina asar chadashim gadalti etzo roya behema. I spent 18 months in the company of a shepherd. Leida eza mum kavua ve'eza mum over, to discover and discern between the mum kavua, the fixed mum, the non-transient mum, the mum that would on a bechor allow it to be slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash, versus a mum over, a transient mum, which would not be sufficient for allowing the animal slaughter. We see from this that Rav spent a lot of time developing expertise in this very area. So why did he not get permission? Elo, the Gemara answers, and we've used an aleph and a beis. We've put them in diamonds to indicate there will be two answers under this third stage. Why did Rav not get permission? Answer, l'chalek lo kovoy l'rabo barchana. As an act of respect to Rabo barchana, Rav was denied this permission. How does that work out? So the Rashi explains on the top second line, he says, l'chalek kovoy l'rabo kidei shinagu boi b'nei bovel kovoyd, so as to ensure the people in Bovel, the community that Rabba was now entering, that community would honor him properly. Shavak le hai chashivusa. Therefore, Rav was denied this chashivus, this added importance, in order to show that in this respect, Rabba was even greater. This was all a matter of show, however. The ilu l'rav, because as far as Rav was concerned, havu nehigi be yakar balafachi, they were going to honor him anyway. So as to elevate the importance of Rabba in the eyes of the Bovel community, something that Rabba needed and this elevation and Rav did not require, so the rishus to dan, to judge cases of Bechor, was granted to exclusively to Rabba. The Iboy Seima, another approach the Gemara takes. We've squiggle underlined the Iboy Seima as one of our, as a common form of highlighting alternatives. When the Gemara presents alternative answers, we use this squiggle underline to show the change. The second answer is Mishum Ha Gufei, because of this very reason, this very point, that Rav was so expert in matters of mum discerning. Derav Baki Bemumi Tfei, because of Rav's exceptional expertise in this realm, Vishori Mumi Delo Yadi Inshi, he had the power to allow a behema, a bechor, based on a mum that to the public wasn't clear. In other words, Rav knew that certain types of mumin were kavua, whereas the public didn't have this fine perception and ability to discern. the Amri, and as a result of their non-expertise, they would say, on another occasion, on one of their own animals, they would say, Ki hai gavna shora Rav. Rav allowed this kind of thing. In other words, they would be comparing a second incident to some earlier incident that Rav had in fact allowed, and make a comparison on their own. The Asu Lemishri Mumover. And because of their ignorance of the topic, because of their superficial abilities to compare, they would end up allowing an animal based on a transient mum, a mum over, which is not permissible. At this point in the Gemara, we feature a star, an asterisk, in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text to draw your attention to the fact that what we're going to learn now is tied into that which was mentioned on Omid Aleph. So you can flip back to Omid Aleph and try to find a corresponding star with an Omid Beis reference next to it, under it, and you will see that the Gemara there was discussing the issue of Yoreh. Does he have permission to judge? And Rebbe said, Yoreh, he does. The Gemara opens up with that as an introduction. Yoreh, Yoreh. The Gemara now asks, E Gomir, if we're talking about someone who is learned, Rishusa Lomali Lemishkal, what is the significance of getting Rishus to Dan cases of Isur Veheter? In other words, we can say that as far as getting Rishus to Dan to judge cases of a financial concern, the benefit of getting the Rishus was in order to be exempt in the case of error. But here, when you're dealing with cases of Isur Veheter, for example, cases of Kashrus, what is the necessity of getting Rishus to Dan these kind of cases? Gemara answers, Mishum Maisa Shehoya. The significance of getting Rishus to judge cases of Isur Veheter will be understood, will be seen by learning the following Gemara, which features a Maisa, an incident that happened. We feature in the space to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara a tuf that's encircled, tshuva or teretz, a long answer. In other words, in order to fully appreciate the Maisa and its results, you'll have to learn all of these lines, at the end of which we'll then appreciate why it's important for someone to receive Rishus before he is allowed to render decisions in Isur Veheter. Desanya. Let us note before we go on in the Gemara another one of the markings that just appeared, a crown form, if you will. We've explained on the outside margin the role of this form, of this geometric form in this sugya, as in addition to the topic heading that we might want to glance at before we go on in the Gemara. You notice the nosei heading, Lomo yesh tzorech lekabel heter lehoiros yoreh binyone iser veheter. Why is there a necessity of receiving permission to judge imhu kvar mulumad, if a person is already scholarly? So now we have the mivneh note. The crown form represents a sidra shel maisim, a series of events, of stories. That's what you'll see as the Gemara goes down, as you go down the page, and we've indicated the number of maisim by numbering them in the space in the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can scan down the page, you'll see three maisim. And hence we've referred to this as a sidra shel maisim, a series of events. He'ara, we add a comment. Yesh lahazbir ma'wa kesher bein ha'maisim alolo. It's upon us, those of us who are interested in delving a little bit deeper beyond the mere presentation of the maisim, to try to understand what's the relationship between each one of the maisim that the Gemara will present. We can say that maisa 1 and 2, mishutaf lahem, common to them, they're connected, inyan shel hayruas halacha. the issue of ruling halachic, making halachic decisions. Hivlatnu habitui al yore. You'll see as the Gemara unfolds, in cases 1 and 2, the expression al yore is featured with a dotted underline, hence serving to connect the cases up. Case 1 is going to say that hora is rak acharei shenoitel rishus meirabo. One can render decisions only after receiving permission to do so. And case number 2 is shaloi lahoyreis bemokoim o be'ezor rabo, that one should not rule cases when he is in the location, in the proximity of his rav, of his teacher. Case number 3, on the other hand, we're going to forward everyone to look at Rashi. Ayin Rashi, Shemevi Shalosh Gishois Be'inyan Hakesha Shemikre Zu L'Sug Yosenu. In order to appreciate the connection of case 3 to the rest of the Gemara, that will be understood by learning Rashi on your own. With all that having been said, let us go back to the Gemara. We're trying to understand why, if someone is learned, is it necessary for him to receive permission to judge cases of Iser Veheter? The Gemara answers, because of an incident that took place. Disanya. And we have a Tanaic source, as you can see in the frame. Pam achas holach Rebbe lemokoim echod. Once upon a time, Rebbe went to a certain locale. V'ro b'nei odom shemegablim isoisein betuman. He saw people kneading their dough, megablim, kneading their isoisein, their dough, without being metaher their kalim, without ensuring that the vessels in which they were preparing the dough were tohor. Dough, as everyone knows, is a combination of flour with water. Water is an element that is machshir lekabel tuma, which enables substances, food substances that came into contact with it, with the water, to be receptible to absorbing ritual impurity, absorbing tuma. Without getting into much detail, there is significance in maintaining a state of tahara when necessary. For example, when it comes to being makrish chala or trumas and maestras, etc. He, Rebbe, asked them, why are they not being considerate or concerned with ensuring tahara being maintained? Omar lohem, mipnei ma'atem megablim iso sechem betuma. Upon seeing them that they were kneading in tuma, he asked them, why are you kneading your dough in this situation, in this state of tuma? Omru lo, they answered, Talmud echod balakan, a student came to our community, v'hoiralonu, and ruled for us, me bitsoim ein machshirin, v'hu me beitzim dorash lehu. Let us translate this. We mentioned that this student came to their location and he told them, at least as we'll see very shortly in the Gemara, they thought he told them that mei bitsoyim is not machshir. Mei bitsoyim will be water that comes from marshes or swamps. Is not machshir. It doesn't enable food substances to become susceptible to tuma. In other words, upon coming into contact with mei b'tzoyim, they thought their food is not mukhshir lekabel tuma. Hence, they have no reason to metaher their vessels, to purify their vessels, because the food that they were preparing, the dough in this case, wasn't going to absorb tuma anyway. But in truth, that Talmud did not say water from marshes is not machshir. Water from marshes is water. It doesn't matter where the water comes from. Water is machshir under all circumstances. However, what the Talmud told them in fact was that eggs are not, mei beitzim, egg whites or eggs, if you will, are not machshir, which is true. Not every liquid is machshir. There are seven types of liquid that are machshir. They're known by the shortened abbreviated term Yad Shachak Dam, and one of those is water that is machshir. However, eggs are not machshir. The Gemara explains now, and we've featured with the triangles the two situations in which the public thought something that turned out to be erroneous. The inhu savor, the public, they thought when the Talmud was speaking, me bitzoim ka'omar, that he said marsh water is not machshir. V'ta'unami, this same public also made a mistake in the following, b'ha, the following source. This source deals with the preparation of mei pora aduma, known also as mei chatos. This is water that was added to the ashes of the pora aduma, the often translated as the red heifer, that was used for being metayer people from tumas meis. Of course, we're not going to spend time on the details of that topic, but the requirement for mei pora aduma is mayim chayim, water that comes from a live spring. In other words, water taken from someone's fridge is not going to be sufficient, is not going to be acceptable for the mei pora aduma. There is much more detail than we're saying right now. Suffice it to say, water that comes from a live spring is the only water that's acceptable, as opposed to scooping up water from a pond or a marsh. So we have a source that says mei karmion umei pega. These were rivers that ran through these marshes. Psulin, they're not acceptable for the mei chatos of the paraduma, but mei shehen mei bitzarim, because they are waters that come from marshes, and we require mayim chayim. The inhu savor, this public that was preparing their dough with marsh water and not concerning themselves with purity, they figured midilagabi chatos psili, from the fact that the water is not acceptable for the pora aduma preparation, achshuri nami lo machshiri, these waters would not serve to machshir lekabel tuma. Velohi, and that is not true. Hosam leinyan chatos bo'inon mayim chayim, in the context of the mei pora aduma, the ashes with the red heifer, the ashes of the red heifer mixed with water, there we need water from a live spring. Haha, however, here in the case of the kneading of the dough, achshuri koldehu machshiri, any water is machshir. Any water makes the food item susceptible to absorbing tuma, and hence they were wrong in preparing their dough using marsh water and not being metayer their vessels ahead of time. Tana, we have a source, and with this source we'll understand how it all ties in with our topic of getting rishus tadan. But oisa shah gozru, at that time, upon this incident with Rebbe and encountering these people that made the mistake, they ruled Talmud al yore elo im kein noitel rishus meirabo, that a student shall not offer halachic rulings unless he receives rishus from his rav. What is the rishus from his rav going to help? So Rashi points out, and we can look at this Rashi together, a few lines up from here, noitel rishus mei rabo, v'chiyohiv lei raboi rishusa, and when the rav is granting him permission, meidak dayik bei, the rav will be very precise and careful, shehei l'shoinoi posuach, that his enunciation should be proper, open, v'lo yit'ru hashoimin es devorav, and as a result of his loshon being pasuach, the people that hear his speech will not make a mistake. So we see the significance of getting rishus for paskening, for ruling halachic decisions, even if you're dealing with someone that is learned, because even though someone may be learned, it doesn't guarantee that their speech and enunciation will be at a high enough level for the public to appreciate what he is saying. We see now a second incident, and as we said before in our introduction, the connection between this coming incident and what we said is has to do with offering halachic rulings. Tanchum Brei de Rabbi Ami Ikla b'Choser. The Tanchum went to this place named Choser, Dorash Lehu, and he ruled the following. Mutter Lusois Chitim b'Pesach. That it's mutter to soak the wheat on Pesach. The soaking of wheat makes it easier for the shell or the klipa that surrounds the wheat kernel to be removed. And his ruling involves halachas concerning the care needed to be taken so that something does not become chometz. Omru lo, they said to Tanchum, Lav Rabbi Moni de Mintzur Ika Hocha, is Rav Moni from Tzur not in this location? Is he not nearby? Vetanya, and we have a teaching that says Talmud al Yoyre Halacha b'mokem Rabo, that a student should not offer halachic rulings in the locale of his Rav. Elim kein hoya rochog mimenu sholosh parsois, unless he's at a distance of 3 parsa, 12 mil, from that Rav, Keneged Machne Yisrael, which is the distance or the size of the Jewish camp in the Midbar. The connection to the size of the Jewish camp in the Midbar was that in the Midbar, in the desert, when the Jews were leaving Mitzrayim, when they were leaving Egypt, all halachic questions came to Moshe Rabbeinu. So that we see that in the proximity of 3 parsa, all questions are directed to the Rav and not to the Talmud. So they asked Tanchum, how can you rule Mutter Lusos the Chitim Pesach when the Rav is located here? Omar Lehu, Lav Adatoi. He said, I didn't know that. I wasn't aware of his closeness. Now we come upon incident number 3. As far as our shiur is concerned, we'll present the incident, but for those of you who are interested in seeing the connection between it and the rest of the Gemara, our advice is to look into Rashi. We can say that the first approach of the 3 that Rashi says, and we can see that we've dashed underlined that for your convenience, Rashi says, Lo isparish lon mai bayahocha. It wasn't explained to us, says Rashi, what this incident is doing here. But Rashi goes on to offer his own explanation and a third explanation later on. The Gemara, though, inside, continues, Rabbi Chiyo chazio lahu gavro, davakoi bebeis hakvoros. Rabbi Chiyo noticed a man standing in a cemetery. Omar lei, Rabbi Chiyo asked him, lav bar ish ploni kohen ato, are you not the son of so-and-so the kohen? And if you're the son of a kohen, it stands to reason that you are also a kohen, and a kohen is forbidden to expose himself to tumas mesim, and standing in a beis hakvoros, one would encounter Tumas Mason, the impurity that's imparted upon an individual by encounter or even overshadowing the dead. Omar Lei, so the gentleman answers Reb Chiya as follows. It'll take 2 lines to see his answer. He says, In, yes, I am the son of that man that you just noted. However, Avua Dahu Gavra, the man of so-and-so, referring to himself, often in the Gemara we see people speak in the third person when speaking about themselves. So he says, my father, Gova Einayim Havei. He was a person who followed his eyes, followed his Yetzer Hora. Nosan Einov Begrusha, he set his eyes upon a divorced woman, and a Kohen is not allowed to marry a divorced woman. In the event that he does marry a divorced woman and produces a child, the child is known as a Cholol, and a Cholol has a Yisrael status, has a non-Kohen status. And that's what he says, V'chivulo, and rendered him, referring to himself, though, rendered me a cholo. And as a result of my having a non-Kohen status, there is no halachic problem of my standing in the Beis HaKvoros. At this point, the Gemara makes a reference to a topic that was discussed much earlier, the issue of receiving permission to judge. We saw that Rav, in the earlier Gemara, received permission to judge cases of Isur Veheter, but did not receive blanket permission to judge all cases, including Heter Bechoros, to matir the development of the appearance of a mum on a Bechor. That's what the Gemara makes reference to here. Lepalga ha ka'omar demahani, receiving reshus to judge partially, some cases, we see that that's effective. That we called Aleph. Issue Beis, the second issue, al tnai mai. What is the halacha concerning someone who receives permission to rule cases on a temporary basis? For example, for a year, for 2 years, and after that, his license would expire, so to speak. Toshma, the Gemara answers, Yomar le Rabbi Yochanan le Rav Shamon. Rabbi Yochanan said to this gentleman, Rav Shamon, Hare ata birshusenu ad shetovo etzlenu, which means you have reshus to don cases, to rule on cases, until you come back to us. Rashi explains that Rav Shamon was on his way from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Rabbi Yochanan was located in Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Yochanan was telling Rav Shamon, you have reshus to don until you come back to us here. A topic that's worth investigating, which is not in the purview of our shir, would be, we mentioned in the Gemara earlier that may hosam lehocha, from receiving a shus from Eretz Yisrael to paskin cases in Bavel, is not effective. Here we see someone leaving Eretz Yisrael, going to Bavel, and getting reshus to dan such cases. We saw the Gemara mentioned that type of permission would be beneficial for the cities that were on the border of Eretz Yisrael, right outside of Eretz Yisrael. But there might be more to say on this topic. For example, maybe there is room to make distinction between financial judgment cases, which involves the exemption from making financial compensation in the event of an error, versus cases involving Isur Veheter. But as we said earlier, it's worth analyzing Rav Shamon's receipt of license to Paskin cases from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. As we go on in the Gemara, we encounter a new topic. We glance at the outside margin, Nosei, Dinoi Shel Shmuel. This will be discussing Shmuel's rule that says, Shnayim Shedonu Dinehem Din. Two who Paskin, their ruling is binding. Shmuel went on to say that they are considered a Bez Din Chotzuf. We have a Mivneh note as well. This is a house form that will appear shortly in the Gemara. They represent Kushios al Shmuel, questions on Shmuel. We turn to the Gemara. Gufa, Omar Shmuel, Shnayim Shedonu, two that sit in judgment, Dineyam Din, their ruling is binding, Elo Shenikra Bezdin Chotzuf. They are, however, considered a Chutzpadika Bezdin, because the Chachomim ruled that three should judge, not two. Yosef Rav Nachman v'komar loho shmaitza. Rav Nachman was sitting and said over Shmuel's teaching that two who judge, their ruling is binding. Eisvei Rova l'Rav Nachman. Rova raised an objection to this from the following source. Afilu shnayim mezakin o shnayim mechayvin. Even if you have a case where two exempt or two of three judges they condemn, the echod omer eini yodea, and the third judge says, I don't know how to rule, yosifu hadayonim, then there's a need to add judges. Rashi says at the toward the bottom, yosifu hadayonim dehavi le keman delo havi hosam, it's as if the one who said he doesn't know was never there. Vishtakach de trehu dehavi, and if you say that the third guy is not, is as if he wasn't there, then you're left with only two. And we require three. The inami gumar dino betray aviruba shavir dami. Even if the conclusion is with two, and they would be a rove, that would be okay. But you have to have three. So the Gemara points out the Esau. If Shmuel's din is correct, then so what? The third guy says, "I don't know." Lehevu kishnayim shedonu. Let it be considered as if two judged, and two, according to Shmuel, is sufficient. Why is there a necessity of adding judges? So the Gemara answers, this is not an objection to Shmuel. He can answer, Shaini Hosam, that case is different. Deme'ikora Adaita Detlosu Yasivi. Hocha Lav Adaita Detlosu Yasivi. In the case featured in the source, they sat in judgment with the anticipation of hearing from three people. If they didn't hear from all three, so then their original standard is not met. However, Shmuel's case, there was no original presence of three people, and hence two who were the ones to sit down originally, and the two render a decision. According to Shmuel, their decision is binding. Eisvei, we ask again an objection to Shmuel. Notice this is a long question, and we've indicated that by the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, and this extends to the top of Vav Omen Aleph. Eisvei, Rabon Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Hadin v'shloisha upshara b'shnayim. Legal rulings are accomplished by three judges. Compromises are accomplished or are carried out by two judges. There's an element of strength that Pshara has that Din does not have. Sheshnayim shedanu, if two were to sit and rule a legal matter, Bale dinim yicholim laser behem, the litigants can back out. Ushnayim sheosu Pshara, however, two judges who arrange a compromise between the two litigants, Ein bale dinim yicholim lachzer bohen. The litigants cannot back out of that. Rashi adds at the bottom, sharei nisratzu, the alpihen osu. They were willing, the litigants were willing, and accepted this. We see, therefore, a strength to two in the case of pshara over the case of two in din. And suffice it to say that according to Rabban Shimon Gamliel, two who judge, their judgment is not binding by virtue of that which we dashed underlined, that the Bali Dinim Yicholim Lafshar Behem, the litigants can back out, showing unlike Shmuel. V'chitema, the Gemara at the top of Vav Amarav says, Pligi Rabbonon Olei to Reb Shimon Gamliel. You might try to suggest that the Rabbonon disagree with Reb Shimon Gamliel, and they would hold that two who judge, their ruling is binding like Shmuel. But that doesn't seem to be so. V'yomer Rabbi Avohu, Shnayim Shedanu, L'divrei HaKol, Ein Dineihem Din. Rabbi Avohu says that two who judge, according to all authorities, not just Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but the Rabbanon as well, would agree, and we've dashed, underlined, Ein Dineihem Din. Once again, not like Shmuel. The Gemara answers, in order to make this question a question on Shmuel, we have to accept what Rabbi Avohu said, that everyone agrees that Ein Dineihem Din. However, Shmuel is capable of arguing with Rabbi Avohu. Hence the Gemara says, Gavra agavra karamis. Are you asking from one on the other? Namely, are you asking a question on Shmuel based on Rabbi Avohu? Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel holds that the Rabbonon disagree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and the Rabbonon will hold that two who judge, their judgment is binding, just like I, Shmuel, says. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.